job. Welcome, welcome. Okay, so what's up with the right side? You guys got COVID or something? I'm a lefty too, so you notice we always sit over there, we're lefties. So God bless the lefties. You righties need to get with it. I don't know what's going on here. Margaret used to be a righty, and she was transformed by the renewing of her mind, and now she's a lefty. We got some holdouts. That's all right. Well, welcome to Palm Sunday, welcome to Passion Week, and welcome to First Baptist El Centro. What a blessing to have all of you here, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? And, you know, we got a true Baptist here this morning. And as we break out of COVID-19 and start this new chapter in the life of the church, I can't think of a better way than to start with Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Resurrection Day next week. And so this is a ceremony. Did you like our little ceremony with the kids? I thought that was really sweet. Thank you. Thank you, Victor and Laura and your family. That was awesome. If you brought your Bibles, please turn to the book of John. The title of our message this morning is Behold Your King. We are in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. So a little bit longer than what Laura just read, but we're going to go verse by verse, so we'll walk with you through that. So as you're turning there, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you again, God, for your word. Thank you for this special time. Lord, please go before us now and give us understanding of your word to us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we look at him today, we're going to look at him from a sense of heavenly royalty, if you will, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what Palm Sunday is about is Jesus allowing himself to be honored as king, really the only time that he allowed himself to be worshiped as king, riding into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. Because it was prophesied, as we will look at in Zechariah 9:9, that he was going to do exactly that on that day. Prophesied in Daniel 9 as well, to the date he was going to ride into Jerusalem. And there's some speculation about exactly which date he was going to go in, but most commentators believe that it was this triumphal entry. And we're also going to look at, this was very misunderstood and kind of misunderstood still today. This is a heavenly perspective of Jesus being king, okay? So the blessing of being in the Word of God is it gives us a heavenly perspective, what the truth is, what life is all about, and who Jesus is, most importantly. So please take that to heart as we go through these verses. After all this took place, when Jesus was being prepared to go to the cross, between this moment, Palm Sunday, and Good Friday, during the week, what happened? He went on trial, right? And the key moment in the trial when he was being questioned by Pontius Pilate, I'll read it to you in John 18, verses 36 through 37. Pilate is questioning Jesus about who he is. It says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly, I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And of course, the famous statement after that, Pilate says, "Well, what is truth?" He didn't know truth. because he didn't know Jesus. We know Jesus, don't we? He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. We know the truth. We know that we are sinners, and without Christ, we're separated from God. But with Christ, we are one with God. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are children of God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's what this is all about. But people in the world, like Pontius Pilate and people 2,000 years later today, don't understand who Jesus is. So what's going on at this time is Jesus is fulfilling prophecy. The Pharisees are envying Jesus. The people are wondering what this is all about. The disciples are misunderstanding just about everything in terms of who Jesus is. Lazarus is being resurrected. Mary's anointing him, and Judas is getting ready to betray him. So in a nutshell, that's the context of everything that was happening. So there's a big commotion going on now in Jerusalem because it's the Passover feast. So there's this big buzz about the fact that Jesus was coming to town. So we're going to look at these verses in three parts. The triumphant king in verses 12 through 13. The prophetic king in verses 14 through 15. And then thirdly, the misunderstood king in verses 16 through 19. So first let's look at the triumphant king, verses 12 through 13. Verse 12 says, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, again that's Passover, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, you know, people would make this trek, right? Some from different countries. Remember a few months ago we studied Simon the Cyrene, who came from Africa just for this feast. And people would come as a part of being a Jew. They'd try to come to the feast every year if they could, but some maybe could only do it once in a lifetime. And you kind of get the sense when we studied Simon the Cyrene that this was the one and only time he could go, but when he came, he was changed forever because he carried the cross of Christ. And that's the kind of impact, that's the kind of importance that this feast has for a Jew, and still today, the Passover is celebrated, right? And it could even be that, you know, as the town of Jerusalem was multiplying maybe four times more than its normal population, maybe there was no room for the inn at another pregnant mom and young father-to-be, as Mary and Joseph were rejected at the inn because there was no room and they had to give birth to their baby Jesus in the manger. That's what was going on at the time. It was that big of a swelling, again, of the population of Jerusalem. And what we find in the scriptures is that everybody was talking about Jesus. Now, I love any time when people are talking about Jesus. You'll see in Christmas time, what's the world trying to do with Christmas is, you know, it went from Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays to Season's Greetings to Happy Winter, you know. And now, right? So at least our culture is trying to get more and more politically correct with the holy days, right? Holidays are holy days. That's where that word comes from. So as much as they want to water down Jesus and the gospel and the word of God and Christianity, the truth is always there because we stand for the truth and we know what the truth is. Amen? And so we're going to hold on to the truth. Same with Easter. You know, Easter, it comes from Ishtar, which is a pagan word, and that's a whole nother study. But, you know, it's about worshiping fertility gods, for goodness sake. That's where the eggs and the chickens come from, right? So it's not about that. It's not about spring. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to look at Good Friday and Resurrection Day. Okay, you can call it Easter. That's okay. But it's about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. But there's a big commotion going going on. Everybody's talking about Jesus. I remember when Passion of the Christ came out, the movie? Like, was it 12, 15 years ago now? But you'd go to a restaurant and people were talking about the movie. I think it's the biggest movie of all time worldwide. But I remember hearing people talking about, what does that part mean and what does that part? I wanted to get on the table and start saying, this is what it means. You know, but can't do that. I'd probably be in jail. But I loved it because people were talking about Jesus. You notice I came up to the pulpit too early because of the song. I couldn't wait to get in the pulpit this morning. I don't know why. It's the Holy Spirit, so forgive me. But I just love this message because we have a triumphant king in Jesus, and yet he rides into town, and people are wondering, who is this guy? So they knew he had a certain amount of power. He had just resurrected Lazarus out of the tomb. So that contributed to the buzz that was going on about all this power that Jesus had. And they're thinking, could he be the Messiah? Is he the Christ? Is he the one? Is he anointed? Is he going to end this oppression that we have under Rome and even the Pharisees at the time? Is he going to restore Israel? Was the question, because that's how the Jews then and the Jews today see Messiah, because they're blinded. They're blinded by what the scriptures say. How many times when Jesus was witnessing to the Pharisees, have you not written, read the scriptures? Have you not read what is written? They misunderstood the scriptures. And because of that, the heartbreaker, they missed their Messiah. When Jesus rode into town from up on the hill, he cries out, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you knew, if you just knew that I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers its chicks, but you didn't know the time of your visitation. You didn't know that God was coming to redeem you through Jesus Christ, and you're getting ready essentially to reject me. What a heartbreaking moment. So in their haste, the people say, by hearsay, they didn't have all the truth and the facts and the knowledge in the palm of their hand. They're just hearing, this might be the Messiah, let's grab a palm branch. Let's welcome our king, you know? And so it was like almost instinct for them to say, this is it, this is the man. He just rose Lazarus from the dead, and he's doing all these miracles, and the multitude was following him. The palm branches are a symbol of Jewish nationalism. This is something that they'd been doing for about 150 years, where they were honoring a victory. And so this was a way of honoring a victorious king. Okay? So this was their intention when they're putting the palm branches and their robes down on the road, was to honor the arriving king. But we all know that he came as a spiritual savior, right? And that's what they missed. But looking ahead into our future, as described in Revelation, there's a victorious multitude that's going to cry out. Revelation 7:9 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, note that, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We're going to celebrate Palm Sunday in heaven once again. And we will have full understanding, full revelation, full knowledge of who Jesus is. We'll be acknowledging him as the victorious king. with palm branches. So this is going to happen again, and it's going to be magnificent. Jesus is on the throne in heaven, and soon, and very soon, we're going to rule and reign with him. Praise the Lord. Now, as he's coming in, it's like a parade, right? He's on the foal, the colt of a donkey. He's on this little donkey. And if you ever seen the Jesus movies, it looks kind of awkward. But and also, to ride a little colt that had never been ridden before, if any normal person got on that animal, it would be all over the place, right? Be trying to buck him off. But because Jesus is creator of heaven and earth, he can control a little donkey, right? But it's interesting to note in all four Gospels how they cried out, Hosanna to him. Hosanna means save now, right? So listen to the four Gospels. I'm going to read all four of these and put yourself on the road there in Jerusalem when Jesus is riding in. Here in Mark 13, they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Matthew 21:9, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Luke 19:38, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then Mark 11:9-10, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. All four Gospels are a little different. That's what I love about the Gospels. They're a little different, but they're saying the same thing. They're praising Jesus. They're saying, save now. Be our king. We acknowledge you as our king. And we want to be subject to you. We need help, right? We need a king that's going to save us from all this oppression. But they're not looking at it through spiritual eyes. We should be doing the same thing as sinners. Save me from this wretched body, right? Save me from the sin of death, oh Lord. We do that when we hear the gospel, we hear the good news that says, I can fix you. I can save you. I can redeem you. I can bless you. I can heal you of your sin if you surrender your life to me. That's what the gospel and the Holy Spirit, the work of Jesus Christ, and the love of the Father gives us. What a blessing. And so when you consider yourself standing in the road and listening to all this shouting out, crying out, Hosanna, what would a passerby do? What would someone just standing in the crowd think? This guy is somebody special, right? This man is riding on a donkey. What does that mean? You would hope it would make you curious, right? When I first got saved, that was the thing that I prayed for, that my family would be curious about what had happened to me. But they weren't. It was a big disappointment. And they still aren't, because they're blind. We still pray for them. We still love them, right? But how many of you have loved ones who aren't saved? Just about everybody, right? Pray for them. Love them. Don't beat them over the head with scriptures and tell them you're right and they're wrong. Just love them. Go out of your way for them. Continue to love them, right? And we have prodigals. We pray for it. Breaks my heart, you know? If we are raptured right now, they are in the tribulation. And that, I can't live with that. And pray for your prodigals. Pray for your loved ones. Amen. In Luke, in the Luke passage where it says, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest, the Pharisees said to Jesus, rebuke your disciples, rebuke the people for saying that. And Jesus said, if they don't say it, even the rocks are going to cry out and say it. That is the Lord of all creation saying, I am going to be praised on this day because it was prophesied. This is the right thing to do. I am the King of Kings. He's not doing that out of, you know, glorifying himself. Jesus was the servant of all servants. But on this day, Palm Sunday, he allowed himself to be acknowledged as the King of Kings, and appropriately so. But all creation would have responded if the people hadn't responded. Jesus is Lord. Acts 10:36 says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You know, I forgot something. I want to go back. In that Revelation passage where it says, all these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, and peoples. That moment in heaven, when we're saying Hosanna, we're holding palm branches, it says all nations. It doesn't say a certain class of people. It doesn't say a certain color of somebody's skin. It doesn't say somebody with a special accent. All nations, all people. God is colorblind. Our souls have no fleshly color. Amen? So when the church acknowledges that, and a world bent on, especially our world, bent on falsehood of racism, we pray in Jesus' name that our leaders who are crying out racism, racism, come to Jesus and realize that God is colorblind. Amen? And if the church can stand for that today, how powerful is that? This church should be like a bag of Skittles. Multicolored, right? This is a multi-ethnic, multiracial community, and we should and do and will continue to reflect the culture, the people that are here. Different tribes, different tongues, amen? That's what the church is, that's what the family of God is about, right? It's about our hearts, it's not about the color of our skin, amen? I didn't want to miss that point. But in Acts, where it declares that Jesus is Lord of all, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He conquered sin and death at the cross. If you feel defeated today through all this COVID and everything that's going on, loss of job, loss of a loved one, just down because of the situation we're in, my encouragement to you today is look to a triumphant Jesus, who is the King of Kings, and he is the one who gives us victory in our lives, because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We cannot afford to walk around defeated. That's who wants us to do that. The enemy, the devil, wants us to walk around, assume we're defeated. Never assume, okay? We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have to live that, reflect it every day as we are witnesses of the victory of Jesus Christ, our triumphant King. Secondly, that he's the prophetic King in verses 14 and 15. Reading, then Jesus, when he found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Again, quoting Zechariah 9:9. That was written over 500 years before it happened. Church, when you have your Bible, okay, and you read it, do you see it? Do you take to heart? This is the Word of God. Okay? This is not of man. This is not just ink on paper. Okay? This is God speaking to you and me personally. This is God through his Holy Spirit saying, this is what I inspired people to write over 1,500-year period on three different continents and three different languages, and yet there's a scarlet thread that runs throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's all about Jesus, okay? And our need for a Redeemer, which is what this week is all about. Our Redeemer came. And we glory in him, not ourselves, because we haven't done a thing to earn this. We just believe. We're not better. We're just better off. We're sinners saved by grace. I, newsflash, I am a sinner, okay? But because of Jesus, I'm saved by grace. I do everything I can not to sin. I don't put myself in situations where I am prone to sin. I don't want to sin against a holy God, but my nature can betray me if I'm not careful to stay away from it and say no. Most of the time, get behind me, Satan. I'm not going there. That's the self-control of a saved saint that's able to do that. And the one blessing, it's hard to find them, but the one blessing of getting older is you kind of learn that. But you're never perfect. Another newsflash, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. We cannot be given over to any kind of spiritual pride, can we? Because that's going to take us down. Did you hear about Nike? Anybody hear about Nike has a new shoe? The Satan shoe? Okay, God is going to deal with them. The next headline is going to be Nike folds or something. That is just scary. Is it just a woman's shoe only? It's both. Yeah, it has scripture on it. So God's going to deal with Nike. That's really scary. Anyway, but that's the pride of man getting in God's face and using it as a mockery. And yet we have a king who has prophesied and told the people at this time that 500 years ago, this event is going to take place. This day, this Palm Sunday, is a day to honor Jesus as God. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I served in children's ministry for 11 years, and we sang this song, I think, every Sunday. I love that song. But because it's true and it's powerful. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So be glad in this day because our King has arrived. The multitude spread their clothes out on the road, it tells us in Matthew. Jesus, you know, fulfilled over 300 prophecies. So important to take that in mind when you consider Jesus as the prophetic king, the king that was prophesied for his arrival. His prophecies included where he was born, talked about his life, his ministry, how he was going to be rejected, his death, his ascension. Practically every facet of his life was prophesied. Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. This was John the Baptist's role, was to prepare the way for Jesus to come, right? Jesus was the coming Messiah and King, and John the Baptist's ministry was to be one crying in the wilderness through his message of repentance, to prepare the way of the Lord. If you knew Jesus was coming in the next 5 minutes, would you repent from something? I think we all would. Forgive me for saying that to so-and-so yesterday, right? We would all, quickly. But when the rapture comes, boom, it happens. We have no chance to say, God, forgive me when everybody's going up. It's too late. Don't wait, right? Repent now, right? Everybody at home watching on Facebook, repent now from your sins. Don't wait. I did that for 42 years. I said, oh, well, I'm a good person. If there's a heaven, I'll go. And then when I learned that's not true, I learned the gospel. It's like, okay, I need this now. And I did. I took it in my heart. But there's too many people that are deceived into thinking, oh, well, I'm just going to have fun now. And then when the rapture happens or just before I die, then I'll be a Christian. Okay, tomorrow is promised to nobody. And we have to take that very, very seriously. And when the rapture happens, like I said, boom, it's going to happen just like that. There's no way you can go in the last second because it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, in a split second. Okay, boom, we're raptured. And the way things are going, it could happen in our lifetime. So be ready. Prepare your hearts for that moment. We often fail to appreciate how important the preparing work of the Lord is. Any great work of God begins with great preparation. John wonderfully fulfilled this important ministry, David Gusick. And I'd like to take this time to acknowledge our volunteers yesterday, our team of volunteers, our ladies who helped decorate this church for Palm Sunday. Thank you so much. I'd like to also thank Ron and Jim for donating the palm fronds, the beautiful palm fronds. I'd like to thank Jesus for creating them in the first place, right? And I'd also like to acknowledge Gene Loop for blessing our courtyard. Have you all noticed the patch job that he did? It's beautiful, and it's just in time for sunrise service. So, Gene, God bless you. Thank you very, very much. So let me ask you regarding prophecy and the Word of God, do you consider the Bible the prophetic Word of God? When you're reading it, like we read it here, when hopefully you're reading at home, do you realize that truth in your heart that this is God's message to you? And today, we're looking at Jesus as our prophetic king. Thirdly, he was the misunderstood king. This is so important because Jesus is still misunderstood today. Verses 16 through 19. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that he had done these things to him. Verse 17. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. Verse 18, for this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he'd done this sign. 19, the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. We see three different groups here, the disciples, the people, and the Pharisees. The disciples, you know, they're walking with Jesus for 3 years. And they're constantly asking him, are you going to restore Israel now? Can we sit at your right hand of authority when you come into the kingdom? Even after he says he's going to the cross, he warned them about 5 times. I'm going to the cross. They're going to kill me. I'm going to be betrayed. But I'm going to raise from the dead, and I'll meet you in Galilee. He told them that over and over and over. It was like one ear and out the other kind of thing. And they said, yeah, but are you going to restore the kingdom now? So the disciples were just as lost as the people. The people were there. Remember the big commotion going on? Yeah, they were there for the feast. But the people were there because he had raised Lazarus from the dead. He was a miracle worker. That was one of the reasons why Herod wanted to meet with Jesus. He wanted to be entertained. Church is not entertaining, is it? It's edifying, okay? We are not here to entertain you. And, you know, we could have a multimedia show going on right now with all kinds of screens and loud music and light show and everything. But would you be edified? And I've been to churches like that, especially like in the LA area. They're a little too close to Hollywood. And I feel like I'm at a TV set. And I'm going, is this church? Because where's the Spirit? Where's the Word of God? Where's the teaching? Where's the edification? It wasn't there. Heartbreaking. Big church. Okay? And this is what I'm going to talk about in the midweek studies coming up is, where do we go from here, church? Where do we go from here? What have we learned from COVID? If COVID is a correction for the church, and I've said this from here before, what do we need to do to correct ourselves, right? Remember I said, do we have to be more loving? Probably. Do we have to be in the Word more? Probably. Do we have to be in prayer more? Probably. You know, but we're working on those things, aren't we? And we're waiting expectantly to see what God's going to do here at First Baptist South Central. And I'm excited about it, you know. This is such an important time for the church. And it's like God is saying, church, have I got your attention? Are you going to go deeper with me now? Are you going to be more like me, Jesus, now, after I've isolated you for over a year, right? And done everything I can to using evil man to stop you from worshiping, to stop you from assembling, to stop you the best way we can, right? This is overreach, what they're causing us to do. We're working with the system the best we can. We're wearing our masks. We're socially distancing. We're playing by the rules. But this is overreach, and our governor is being subject to a recall, I believe, because of it. We'll see what happens. Okay? Pray for the recall. But the important question is what is God doing in our hearts right now? Aside from the politics, right? How can we be better as a church? Better for this community? Better for each other? Jesus makes us better, amen? So the disciples misunderstood, the people misunderstood, the Pharisees misunderstood because they were envious. The world misunderstands because they are deceived because they love the darkness, Jesus said in John 3, right? But we are in the light. We walk in the light as he is in the light, it says in 1 John. And when we walk in the light, this church, you're the church, okay? Not the building. You're the church. And when we walk out today, be a light. Be a light for Jesus with your joy, the joy in your eyes if you have your mask on. Because that's the best we can do is kind of squint and go, hi, right? Be a joy. Just by your presence when you walk in a room, be a light. By your countenance, because you love the Lord. Ask for understanding, especially for the times. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. From his mouth, from the Word of God. If you feel like, you know, what's going on? What's my purpose? You know, the world seems so lost. Go to the Word of God. And go to the Word of God in prayer and ask God for wisdom and knowledge and especially understanding. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. Remember, Jesus said, his people know him because we are of the truth. It goes on to say, we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Let me ask you, do you have understanding? Let me ask you, who are you standing under? Another way to look at the word understanding. Who are you standing under today? You know, are you standing under the president? Are you standing under the almighty dollar? Are you standing under sin? I hope not. Are you standing under something else other than Jesus? Or is your heart saying, I wish I could understand him more? Go to the Word of God. Stand under Jesus and get understanding. His plan and His purpose for your life will be revealed to you. That's one of the most beautiful revelations when you are born again. At the cross, His title of King of Kings was listed right there. Jesus of Nazareth, King of Kings. The Jews didn't like that. Pontius Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written. That's who He is. That's who He claimed to be. I'm going with that." But it was true. He's the King of Kings. He's the King of the Jews, specifically. And we have victory in our King. 1 Timothy 1:17. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." He's our King. He's our triumphant King. He's our prophetic King. And He can be understood as King. He's misunderstood in the world, but He can be understood when we come to Him in prayer and we come to His Word to give us understanding. So let me ask you, is He the King of your heart? When you live this life, can you say transparently, "Yes, He's the King of my heart"? And when you can do that, the joy that abounds is eternal. If you can't say that, if you're struggling to say that, then I invite you to ask Jesus into your heart. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you don't know Him as the King of Kings, if you're watching on Facebook or listening on the radio, invite Him into your heart. Be a child of God. Know you're redeemed. Know if, for God forbid, if you were to die this afternoon, you'd know your eternal destiny in heaven because you're saved by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're listening or you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, just everyone, close your eyes right now and bow your heads in a moment of prayer. And if you're here today and you'd like to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and know that when you die, you're going to heaven and your sins are forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and you can know in your heart without any doubt, absolutely, you know that you know that you're a child of God and that you're going to heaven, then repeat this simple prayer after me. Father, I come to You in Jesus' name, and I ask You, forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. Give me a brand new heart. Fill me, baptize me in Your Holy Spirit. I accept You as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, amen. If you took that prayer, come and see me afterwards. I'll pray with you. We'll talk about your next steps, what it's going to take to be a Christian. For the rest of us, be a light out there. As you're walking out there, always acknowledge Jesus as your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords. And walk victoriously in our triumphant King. Amen. Amen. Before I let you go, we have Good Friday. Next Friday, 6 o'clock, right here. And we're going to have communion, okay, in the acknowledgement of what Jesus did for us on the cross, okay? Communion on Good Friday. Please, please come 6 o'clock this coming Friday. Also, Resurrection Day. Sunrise. When you think of sunrise, think of what Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, means, okay?